Well, amen. I'm glad that God loves us, amen. And thank you so much for coming out. Preacher, thank you for letting me come and be a part of your church the last couple nights. I've always enjoyed coming here. And, of course, I lived in this part of this neck of the woods for a few years, and it's always a joy to come. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this place. I appreciate you and your friendship and all that's going on here. This, I can remember when I first came to the church and then started watching it grow. I like watching churches grow. You say, why? Because you don't have to compromise to grow. Let me say that one more time. You don't have to compromise to grow. I just believe we do it God's way, we can grow. And it's 2000, you say, well, it's 2000, it's wicked. It was wicked in Jesus' day. We're not crucifying people in America yet. Come on now, somebody say amen. You can say amen in singing time. You can say amen in preaching time. I always get concerned when people get more emotional about the music than they do the preaching time. Somebody help me out just a little bit. And you ought to learn how to get emotional about preaching as well. But I enjoy watching a church grow. And Brother Baldwin, great sermon, great sermon. I was sitting there as he's preaching. I'm thinking to myself, I'm amazed how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Ghost is a wonderful person to listen to. He just preached on how not to fall, how to add to it. Tonight, I want you to take your Bibles, Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Of course, I traveled as an evangelist for 28 years, and hardly ever in all the 28 years did any preacher ever ask me what to preach. And we came here, and your pastor's not asked me what to preach. Brother Baldwin and I, we've not discussed what we're going to preach. But the Holy Spirit discussed it with us. There's a reason why the Holy Ghost does that. That means that apparently tonight, there's a need tonight for some people to listen. If I was a member of this church and I'm in this congregation tonight, I'd draw a circle around myself and say, God, what are you trying to get a hold of me about tonight? Because he talked about how to add things to your life so that you don't fall. But the amazing part I want to talk about tonight, what you can do to subtract from what God gives you that'll make you fall. Take your Bibles, Judges chapter 13. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God, Judges chapter 13 and verse 24. If you have it, give me a good strong amen. Amen. Scripture says in verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name what? Samson. What's his name? Everybody, what's his name? And the child what? Grew. And the Lord what? Blessed him. And the who? Spirit of the who? Lord. Began to move who? Him. Who's that him? Samson, at times. In the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And Samson went down to Timnath. And saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, if you will, go to chapter 16. Look at verse 20. And she said, and this is Delilah talking now, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, here's one of the most scariest statements I read in all the scriptures. I will go out as other times before and shake myself. Here it is. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. He said, I'll just go and do what I've always done. I'm just going to kind of shake myself. He didn't even know that God said, okay, I'm done. Took his hands off. He says, you're on your own, son. Let's see how it works out. But drop down to the last verse, verse 31. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. This is where I got the sermon originally. And he judged Israel 20 years. That little phrase right there is reading it one morning, and I'll be honest with you. It broke my heart as I read it. Judged Israel 20 years. I'll explain that in a few minutes. I want to speak tonight on the subject, tragic decisions. Tragic decisions. Father, we've just heard a great sermon, and if we just followed it, we wouldn't fall. But we're about ready to hear another truth that just kind of, it's a sister truth of what we've just heard. We can add, but Lord, we can also subtract. There's some things that can absolutely, we choose to do it, that'll cause us to fall. God, help me tonight, Holy Ghost of God, speak through me, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest wastes of potential that we read about in the Scripture is in the life of Samson. You have to understand, from the day that Samson was born, God's hand was on this young man. God says he's going to be born, he's going to be a judge in Israel. Now he says, now he's a Nazirite. He says, as a Nazirite, he can't cut his hair, he can't touch the vine, he can't touch a dead body, and he has to stay holy to God all the days of his life. That was the rule that God set down for the Nazirite. We see that Samson, as a young man, God began to move through Samson's life, and God began to use Samson as a young man. And teenager, listen to me. You don't have to wait till you're an adult for God to use you. You start letting God use you right now, wherever you are. I don't care how old you are. If you're 8 years of age and you're saved, let God use you right now. But the tragic decision came, and we know the life of Samson. That Samson, he went down the Timnath, and he met a girl, and he met this girl, and his life changed from that one little phrase that he went down. From that point on, Samson's life was he played with the enemy for several years. He allowed the enemy to be his best buddies, and truthfully, the ones that should have been the heroes in his life became the villains. The one that he should have cheered became the ones that he tried to avoid. The ones that he should have embraced were the ones he pushed away. And Samson became a man that he played with the ones that God had called him to destroy. But one day, we know the story. A lady by the name of Delilah came. She was a spy. She came and she endeared herself to him. And Samson began to fall in lust and began to have an adulterous affair with this woman. She began to press on him where he got his strength from, and we know the story. After several times, he finally opened his heart. When he opened his heart, and by the way, let me just say this, you better be careful who you give your heart to. Young person, you don't have to say I love you on the first date. Somebody say amen right there. Because who you give your heart to, they have the greatest chance to hurt you the most. And I'm telling you, you better be careful who you give your heart to. And he opened his heart and he poured his heart out to her, not knowing that she was a spy, and the rest is history, that she called the enemy in and they cut his hair, and they went, and when he woke up, he said, I'll go out as at other times before, but he wist not that the Spirit of God was from him. And the sad part was they came and they gouged his eyes out. They put him down in a dungeon and had him grind in a dungeon until the day that he died in that temple. Everybody is one decision away from ruin and heartache. Did you hear me? You may have done good today, but tomorrow may be the day you can make one tragic decision and you're done. Sin doesn't respect your title. Sin doesn't respect your heritage. Sin doesn't respect your position. Sin says, I'm going to go after the precious soul and it'll put a mark on your back, and it'll come after you from every angle that it can because it's trying to take you down. Why? Because sin knows how much potential you have when you live that holy life, when you add to your faith. Sin knows it can't touch you as long as you add to your faith. You see, the decisions you make do determine whether you have God's blessings on your future or whether you have heartache and regret. It all comes down to what you do with sin. Samson's life, get this now, was a life of sin and ruin and waste because of several tragic decisions he made in his life. Sin promises a lot, but it never has one time given one. It's never come through on its promises. It always takes away. You say, preacher, what were these tragic decisions? You say there's tragic decisions that he made and that we're all just one decision away. What are these tragic decisions we have to avoid? Listen to me. I hear people falling, like Brother Baldwin was saying, and your pastor knows, we hear it all the time, people falling into sin, and it does break our heart. And it does cause us to say, oh, if only they would have listened. Let me tell you, I don't know that. Hey, I hope by the grace of God tomorrow and 10 years and 20 years from now, I'm still standing in holy and close to God. I deserve that. But let me tell you something. One tragic decision away. I'd love to be a brother in Bowdoin. Listen to me. That I've known for years, still standing for the Lord. I'd love to be a brother Thompson. To still be standing for the Lord when I'm his age. But let me tell you something. Many men my age and younger have fallen into sin. And many people just like you who thought they're pretty good. Let me tell you something. Sin got them and they're gone. You say, what are these tragic decisions? And the sad part is a lot of people make these decisions every day. You say, what are these tragic decisions? First of all, he went down. He went down. Look at this verse. It says in chapter 14, verse 1, and Samson went where? Down. Listen to me. He didn't go up, he went down. Sin's direction is always down, it's never up. Sin's direction is always a choice, it's not a mistake. Let me tell you something. Somebody doesn't mistakenly go into sin, they always decide to go into sin. Listen to me. He went down. What's that mean? His direction changed. Listen to me. It was a purposeful decision not to do right. Listen to me. Nobody mistakenly goes into sin. Nobody, listen, mistakenly misses church. Nobody mistakenly doesn't read the Bible. Nobody mistakenly doesn't pray. Nobody mistakenly looks at a wrong picture. Nobody mistakenly goes on an affair. Nobody mistakenly goes out and fornicates. No, it's a choice that you make. I'm telling you, it's a choice to leave from this direction to go to this direction. It's a choice that everybody makes. It was Peter in one conversation said, thou art the God, thou art the Christ. Then in the very next second, the very next statement, he's not even being controlled by the Spirit of God, and God had to rebuke him just that quick. It's never a good direction when you walk away from God. Listen to me. I get tired of Christians talking about what they used to do. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to run a bus route. I used to be a soul winner. I used to read a lot of Bible. I used to pray a lot. Let me tell you something. It's a choice to stop doing those things. And the choice to stop doing those things is not a direction upward. It's a direction downward. I used to dress like a lady. I used to dress like a man. I used to wear dresses all the time. I used to keep my hair short. I used not to do those things. Let me tell you something. It's a choice when you do that. I'm always amazed how when people drop out of church, and every pastor knows what I'm talking about, how the first thing that goes is the standards. Come on now. It's a choice. It's a choice. Listen to me. And you can say, oh, you can roll your eyes and say, oh, there goes that preacher again, going on one of his tangents. Yeah, I'm going on my tangent because I'm tired of people falling into sin. At some point, somebody's got to tell you, hey, you made a directional turn downward. You see, what was a tragic decision? He chose to go down. He chose to go to the wrong website when he knew he shouldn't have done that. Nobody makes you go to that wrong website. You don't accidentally go to a wrong website. Somebody say amen right now. I know for years people say, well, I accidentally. No, you didn't accidentally. You typed it in. Hey, sir, let me check your cell phone. Let's check the cache on your cell phone. Let's find out what you're looking at in your cell phone. Well, my wife doesn't know about it. Your wife doesn't have to know about it. Your heart's already known that you made a turn downward. Your heart's already known that, hey, I'm no longer going on the upward way. I'm not pressing on the upward way. I'm walking the downward way. Why is it? A preacher can sit there and he can see people start making bad decisions and it's like, please don't go down that road. I'm telling you, it's a decision to go down. And may I tell you, Samson made a tragic decision when he decided to go down to the land of the Philistines. May I tell you, the world has nothing to offer you. I go soul winning all the time, and when I lead somebody to Christ, I'm always asking their age, and I'm always amazed, preacher. When I look at someone, I think they're pretty old, and I find out that I'm older than they are. You know why? Because sin has ran them over and left them looking pretty aged inside of life. And let me tell you something, it has nothing to do with genes. Let me tell you something. You can't live in the sin and the sins of the world, and it not affect your countenance. Ask Naomi about that. I'm talking to people tonight. You've made some purposeful, you made a purposeful decision, and I don't even have to mention it. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit's done mentioning it to your heart. You know you've already made that decision to go down, and it's not the same as it used to be in church. What are these tragic decisions? First, he made a decision to go down. Second, he didn't listen to the authorities who loved him. He went down and found a woman, and mom and dad says, son, isn't there a girl here in the land? Why do you have to go down there? What are you doing down there, son? Don't you know? That girl's not a good, but dad, you want me to marry somebody ugly. No, I want you to marry somebody godly so you're happy. Let me tell you something. Beauty's skin deep, but you get in the same house with a saved and a lost person, it's never good. And I know that we're old fogey. And I know that we're a dinosaur. Yeah, you can call me T-Rex Domley, and that's okay. I'll be a T-Rex. But somewhere, somebody has just got to stand up and say it's wrong to marry somebody who's not saved. Preacher comes to you and he says, hey, something's changing you. What's wrong? He says, oh, preacher, it's not, nothing. I'm the same. No, no. Then why did the preacher come to you? Come on now, preacher, I think you need to stop meddling in my life. He's not meddling, he's concerned. Because he sees how you used to say amen in church. He watches how you used to smile in church. He watches how you used to walk an aisle. He watches how he's involved in the church. But he's watching that little by little you begin to back up. You stop going soul winning. You stop your ministry. You start backing up. The disdain for the preaching starts happening. He says, hey, what's going on? Samson had a mom and daddy. Says, son, listen to us. That's not where you need to go. That's not who you need to run with. Son, listen to us. How about mom and dad? You don't understand.
You're born back there in the 1900s. This is a different day. No, son, let me tell you something. I don't care if I was born in the 1800s. Sin is still sin. And somewhere, somebody's got to understand when the preacher comes to you and says something's not right. You better listen. The preacher came to Ahab and tried to give him a chance with the priest, but Ahab said, "Oh, you're the troubler of Israel." No, Ahab. Hey, Elijah, what the troubler? Elijah or Ahab, you're the troubler. Your sin's troubling Israel. May I tell you, you can point at your wife, you can point at your children, you can point at the preacher, you can point at your husband and say, "You're the troubler." Why don't you look back at yourself and understand, hey, your sin is what's causing the trouble in your life because you won't listen to the authorities that God has given to you. I had a mama. She said, "Son, you're not going to run with that crowd. Son, you're not going to date that girl." Said, "You have a controlling mama, didn't you?" Thank God I did. May I just say, it's about time some parents start becoming parents again. Stop trying to be a friend to your kids and be a parent to your kids. God never said that a parent's supposed to be their child's friend. God did tell you to be their parent. "Well, I want my kid to like me." I got news for you. Your teenager's not going to like you when he says, when your mom and dad said, "No, you're not getting a smartphone. You're going to have a dumb phone." Come on now. "Well, all the other kids have it." I don't care. If the whole world has it, you're not going to get one. Amen, preacher. Good preaching right now. What's the tragic decisions? He went down. What's the tragic decisions? He didn't listen to the authorities who loved him. What's the tragic decisions? He made the wrong friends. Judges 14:20 says, "And Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his" what? "Friend." Hold on. The friend was a Philistine. What was he doing making friends with the Philistines? Listen, it's never a what, it's always a who. When someone begins to go downhill, listen to me very carefully, I always try to find out who's the who in their life. Because the what is only a symptom of a who that entered into their life. I was preaching down in Houston, Texas a few years ago. Young girl, and Sunday night, she was sitting in the hallways doing homework, and I came up and began to chat with her just a little bit, and I said, "Boy, you love that algebra." She goes, "I hate it." I said, "How are your grades?" And she said, "Well, they're bad right now." I said, "Well, you ought to talk to your teacher. Your teacher can't." She goes, "Well, my grades haven't always been bad." I said, "What are you getting right now?" She goes, "I'm getting D's." I said, "What'd you used to get?" She goes, "I used to get A's." I said, "How long ago?" "Oh, just about a month ago." I said, "Who came in your life?" I said, "What boy has come into your life, young lady?" She looked at me like I smacked her in the face. She says, "What do you mean?" I said, "There's a who." I said, "Does your mom and dad know about that boy?" She goes, "No." I said, "Does the preacher know about that boy?" "No." I said, "Let's go talk to your mom and dad about it." "Oh, no, don't do that, preacher." I said, "Why not?" I said, "If he's affecting you that much for bad, he's not a good boy." I said, "Is he in this church?" "No." "Would he come to this church?" "No." I said, "Why are you running with him?" It's a who. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand Christians who run with the wrong who's. You're running with the church, with the people that go to the life churches, that go to the video churches, that go to the worldly churches, that look like a bar scene or a rock concert. You ought to go to a church that looks like an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. You're just one of those separatists. Yes, I am. Listen to me. I'm talking to people, you know, our preacher, he's just a little narrow-minded. Thank God he's narrow-minded. Because let me tell you something. I'm tired of churches trying to have the color lights look like a bar scene. Why don't we just become children of light? We're lowering the lights in our auditorium when we ought to be children of light. He said, preacher, you're a nut. You don't know half the story. Had a guy call me up in town when I became pastor. Let's go out to lunch. I said, I think I'm busy. He says, but would you have a time next week? I said, no, I'm busy then too. He said, how about 3 weeks from now? I said, I'm busy then too. He says, when are you not busy? I said, I'll be busy all the time. He said, you think you're better than him? Nope. I'm just a dirty, rotten scoundrel just like he is. And let me tell you something. I'm just afraid enough that he's going to influence me. I don't have to try to figure out what he believes. I just have to figure out what this book teaches. That's what I need to figure out. We're looking at all the liberal churches and trying to figure out how to build our independent Baptist churches. Why don't we just go back to the independent Baptist preachers from the past and learn from them and say, you know what, let's just copy them. Your friends. Facebook is an amazing thing. Because we find out who your friends really are. We know who you converse with. Come on now. And the sad part is you're putting it out so everybody can see it. It doesn't bother you. Your friends, you could care less about their friends. Well, you know, I know that they're different than me. Yes, they're different from you. Why? Hey, God says, come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. What was Samson's tragic decisions? Went down, tragic decision. He didn't listen to authorities, tragic decision. He had the wrong friends. Listen, what was his tragic decision? He played with sin. Go to Judges chapter 14 and verse 12. Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a what? Riddle. What's he doing? He's playing with sin. Put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 seats and 30 changes of garments. Hey, he started playing with his sin. It became a game to try to get away from God's judgment. Let me tell you something. When you start getting to this point, you're in very dangerous ground. Well, I've gotten away from all these years. Yeah, you're playing with sin. Anybody knows me, knows I'm afraid of snakes. I mean, I'm dead afraid of snakes. I don't even like dead snakes. You say why? They might come back to life. We lived in Conway, South Carolina for a short period of time when I was a boy, and I was out in the backyard playing, and all of a sudden my mama called me and my younger sister inside the house. One of those calls that when mom, that tone of mama, you just don't ignore. She says, Alan, Linda, get in here. Man, we were like in there. She closed that door behind. She goes, listen, kids. She goes, in the front yard is a big chicken. It was a 6-foot chicken snake. She goes, that snake, if it gets you, it'll swallow you up. It'll kill you. I was scared to death. She goes, we got a problem. She goes, your older brother and your older sister, they're walking home from school. They're going to have to walk to the front yard. That snake will swallow them up and kill them. I said, what's wrong with that? She goes, here's the plan. She goes, I want to run out the back door. You slam that back door. You watch out. Don't let that snake inside the house. And if it gets you, it'll swallow you up. It'll kill you. My mama ran out the back and we slammed the door. I was looking for holes in the floor. Scared of that snake. Daddy got home, went out in the front yard with a shovel and cut its head off. It even scared me more because the thing kept on moving after its head was cut off. Let me tell you something. Something that keeps on moving after it's dead, something's wrong. Devil possessed. Somebody say amen. Anybody that has a snake can't be right with God. Ah, your mom's just, she's needlessly, no, you don't play with snakes. Ask Steve Irwin about it. He did okay at the snakes until he got around the stingray. What he thought wasn't going to kill him was the very thing that killed him. Let me tell you something. Well, I grew up in California, and out in California, the rattlesnakes and the gardener snakes mate, but they don't have the rattles, but they still have the poison. And unless you're a snake expert, you don't know. Let me help you out. I don't know of a sin expert. When I go to the zoo, my daughter has a pass to the Oklahoma City Zoo. She goes, Dad, you want to go where the reptiles are? I said, there's snakes in there. She goes, yep. I said, nope. She said, why? That glass might be broken. I just don't like snakes. Hey, you know what? Because I've never played with a snake, I've never been bitten. Somebody help me out. I've never even had one strike at me. Because I've never gotten close enough to one for one to strike at me. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of believers think they're sin experts, and you're playing with your sin. You're playing with your lust. You're playing with your attitude. You're playing with your anger. You're playing with your rebellion. Let me tell you something. One day, it's going to strike you. Go ahead, sir. Play around with that woman that your wife doesn't know about. I know you got that little app that nobody knows about. Yep. You play with sin long enough, and eventually that snake's going to say, I've had enough of this person. I'm getting a little hungry. I think I'm just going to kill him right now. What happened, Samson? You played with sin. How'd that go? How'd it go? What was his mistake? He became overconfident in his abilities. He forgot that everything that happened in his life had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with the power of God. Because he had gotten away from sin time and time and time again, he became so overconfident at the point that he even began to play with Delilah. Why? He thought it'd never happen to him. Let me tell you something. When you think it'll never happen to you, it's going to happen to you. I know you're sitting here tonight, huh? Yeah, I've heard that before. Don't bother me. That's what Samson said. When the people surrounded the city with gates, I can handle that. When the lion came, I can handle that. When they tried to destroy him, I can handle that. He just played around with sin, became overconfident. Boy, you know, you have to understand my title. You have to know who I am. Let me tell you something. It don't matter who you are. Sin has a payday. What was the tragic decision? He ignored God's opportunity of mercy. This is really where the whole sermon comes in. Scripture says that he judged Israel 20 years. Do you realize that most of those 20 years he was living in adultery, playing in sin, compromising what he believes for approximately 18 years. God was merciful. Don't mistake God's mercy. For the fact that I can get away with it. No. The fact that you haven't been caught yet is God's mercy. The fact that nobody knows about it yet is God's mercy. Well, I've gotten away with it all these years. That's God's mercy. See, we have this idea that God's up in heaven. He can't wait to hit this little red button to send a lightning bolt down from heaven to kill those in sin. Let me tell you something. God's a merciful God. But let me tell you something. One day, God's mercy will not always strive with man. One day you'll wake up. And wish not that the Lord had departed from you. You say, what was the result? What happened because of all this wasted potential? Do you realize Samson could have probably judged for 40 years, but he only judged 20 years? He died a young man. You say, but he had a great victory, and he finally came back. I understand that. But he could have judged for 40 years. How about those next 20 years of people? Because Samson's life never got right. People that lived in sin led Israel back into bondage. Why? Because he wasted God's mercy. The potential. Another sad part is this. Look at this. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him, brought him up and buried him between Zoar. Somebody's going to, when you fall in sin, somebody's going to have to dig through the pile of your rubbish. And what you thought was hidden is going to come out. I can tell you, preachers who got away with sin for a long time, but when they got caught, somebody had to go in their office and clean it out. It's going to come out. Somebody's going to have to dig through the rubbish of your life, and oftentimes it's a child. Oftentimes it's a pretty daughter. Oftentimes it's a loving son. Oftentimes it's a loving wife. Oftentimes it's a brokenhearted husband. I'm saying somebody's going to have to dig through the rubbish of your sin to clean it out. You know what happens? Innocent people get killed spiritually. People are hurt deeply to the point that they're so disillusioned they quit on church. You say they have no right. I understand that, but it happens. I'm talking to some of you tonight. I don't know who you are. There's no mistake. Brother Ball wouldn't preach on what he preached, and I'm preaching. There's no mistake by God. I think this is a good church. But the danger about a church like this is we know how to put the landscape on. We know how to put the paint on. We know how to cover up what's bad so nobody finds out. But the Holy Spirit of God is telling you right now, you better take care of it. It's no secret my daddy's in prison. My dad has spent the last 14 years, Brother Bowden, I think you know my dad. I think you've met my dad. Spent the last 14 years in prison. I was visiting my dad in the prison one day, and I said, Dad, I got to ask you this question. I said, I'm a son, I don't understand it. He was my preacher my entire childhood. Why? My dad tears began to roll down his face. As I'm a grown man asking my daddy, Daddy, why? I don't get it. You are my hero. You trained me. You told me not to do it. You told me. A year before my dad was caught, my dad used to work as a mechanic before he was a preacher. He was working on the church van, and my dad knew how to. My dad always, whenever I worked on vehicles, he always told me, "Now you always secure that thing so that it don't fall on you." He said, "Son, I had the van secured. There's no way it could fall." He's just changed. He's just working on the brakes. Up on the church property, which is out in the country, about 3/4 of a mile off the main drag. If you scream out there, no one's going to ever hear you. He is working on the van one Saturday afternoon, and that van fell on him and missed crushing his throat by that much. I remember my mom's call that night. "Son, you ought to thank God your daddy's still alive." They took a picture and sent it to me. Literally, I mean, a big old gash in his neck. He said, "Son, you remember when that van fell on me?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I knew it was God." He said, "I knew God was giving me a chance to get out. He said, I thought I would never get caught. I thought it would never happen to me." He says, "Son, you may not listen to me, but it always happens. Son, I was wrong. Son, if I can give you one more lesson in life, if you ever listen to me, son. Don't think that you're going to get away with it." He says, "That was my mistake." If he ever gets out of prison, it'll be the mercy of God. "Well, I'll never end up in prison." That's what he thought. Some of you right now inside, you're pretty uncomfortable because you think that everybody sees you squirming. It's called the Holy Ghost of God. He's all over some of you right now. And some of you, listen to me tonight, this just may be your last chance. And no one may expect it at all. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My dad looked at me as we sat at a table that came to our knees. He said, "Son, would you tell the people wherever you preach, would you tell them my story? Would you tell them they better listen?" Tragic decisions. It all goes back to one thing. You didn't listen to the Holy Ghost when he was doing this. You sat there and you say, "I felt that before, but nothing's happened. I'm okay." But before long, you get used to that. Before long, you become callous to that. Before long, you don't feel it. You play with sin, it will win. There is no person bigger than sin. Only God is. Tonight, there's some people you need to clean up your friends. Tonight, some of you stopped going, you started going down, you need to come back. Tonight, some of you are so callous, you're playing with your sin, and you think you're trying to find out how many ways you can get away with it. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And when God walks away, you have no protection. You're on your own. You think you're a big boy? Go ahead. Show me how big of a boy you are. Go ahead, big boy. You know what's sad? Is how many people my dad says he's in prison with that used to go to church. Heard the same type of preaching that you're listening to and didn't listen. Father, tonight, Lord, it starts small. Delilah, her name is little one. It's just the little things that begin to hurt us. God, I'm asking tonight some people come down to an old-fashioned altar, no matter how big, how little we think it is. Pray tonight we get some things right. May we not make the tragic decision to walk out of this place without taking care of that one thing you're speaking to us about right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder who's in here tonight and say, "Preacher, I needed that sermon tonight. Preacher, there's some things I need to take care of. God spoke to my heart." Who is it? Would you slip your hand up high? I needed that tonight. Would you raise your hand really high? I needed that tonight. I see these hands. I see them. Many hands are raised. Who else is it? I needed these tonight. I see that hand right there. Someone else. I needed this tonight. I needed it. Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Who else is it? Who else is it? I see that hand. Who else is it? Who else is it? I wonder if there's someone here tonight. If you died tonight, you're not even sure you go to heaven. Say, "Preacher, I don't want to go to hell." Listen to me. Don't ignore the Holy Ghost of God. Who is it here tonight? Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I'm just not sure I'm saved." Pray for me if you like that. Would you slip your hand up high? Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that? I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? I see that hand right there. You can put it down. In just a moment, I want to pray, whether you raised your hand or not. If God spoke to your heart, I want you to leave your seat, go to the nearest aisle, come down the front tonight. I don't need to know your sin. I'm not God. But tonight, I'm asking you tonight to come down and come clean with God. Say, "God, it's time I come clean. Be real about it. Stop playing games." Oh, God, tonight, bless this invitation time. God, I pray that your people would listen to your Holy Spirit's voice. May we not play around. God, help us tonight, I ask. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, everyone standing to their feet. No one is looking around. The pianist begins to play.